ఉత్తరే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి. Today we continue to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 34 and 35. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Has to cheat others, and this creates enmity
even among the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulative principles. Otherwise, the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity will be hampered due to dissension among its members. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their minds will not be disturbed.
Bhautika, other living entities come and offer
miseries. And adding that is a misery created by our own mind and the body. And all this becomes insurmountable for the living being. And he is suffering. The root cause is being connection with sense gratification. Now the journey moves forward in the midst of this suffering. Now the living entity is into a relationship. Nowadays, whether it's marriage or staying together, whatever it is, he needs more comforts, more money, because as Prabhupada writes, there is an exchange of money. Why is that money required? To keep the conditioned soul, which is attached to sex desire. And when actually the intercourse actually takes place, then he becomes more attached. Now he wants more facilities, material comforts like apartment, house, food, friends, wealth, and so on. These don't come for free. We have a price to pay. So, to get this, the living entity has to work hard. If he can't, then he tries the unscrupulous means, because the pushing is there. When you're single, there is pushing, and when you get into family life, there is more pushing from the sufferings of your own self and from the suffering of your near and dear. That pushes you. And that leads to greed. Then greed blinds the person, and he is into the mode of cheating. And is he going to get a big profit? No, only a tiny profit. And that too, he is not discriminating between friends and relatives. Even with them, he is trying to make profit. And as a result, the so-called material friendship also turns into enmity. And that enmity is there between the conditioned soul and his father as well. So when I was thinking about this point, we have several examples in the Shastra where the son is acting very cruelly towards his parents, and especially his father. Anyone can recollect any example of the son behaving very harshly to his father and putting them in big trouble?
Vena.
Okay. King Kamsa, very good. King Vena, we saw earlier as to how the father wanted a son, but then he regrets why he gets as a son. Then he turned out to be a mysterious son. The second example told by Vajrasura is Kamsa, greedy. Greedy for power, strength, wealth, doesn't discriminate between his father or anyone, puts Ugrasen in jail, gets into power. We can turn the thing on. So we saw examples where Kamsa is willing to kill his own father, sister, the moment he hears about the prophecy. So enmity is created between people of their own family. Any examples of those who became inimical towards their spiritual master?
Ramachandra Puri.
Ramachandra Puri, okay, can I talk about that? Can you expand on that? Ramachandra Puri became inimical towards?
Didn't become inimical actually.
Yeah. Is that Ishwar Puri?
It was Guru, no?
So towards the end of his life, when doing personal service, what's the details I'm trying to recollect?
He went to Madhavendra Puri's bedside and told him, why are you meditating on, why are you crying separation? You shouldn't cry like this. And then...
Okay. And the spiritual master was crying in separation from the Lord towards the end of his life, showing exactly symptoms, the disciples misunderstand this, and then advises the spiritual master. In this case, is it Madhavendra Puri?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Ishwara Puri is the example of a good disciple who understands the word of the spiritual master and serves him in the way that the spiritual master, that's why he sings Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam. So understanding more of the spiritual master, the service is done. Then you don't have inimical attitude towards spiritual master. And within ISKCON, when Srila Prabhupada was in the planet, also when Prabhupada made strong statements like moon landing, how it is fake, and he disturbed many disciples, and some of them left. So, can a disciple leave a spiritual master who is in an exalted position, he is in good standing, and he is creating a spiritual revolution? No, the disciple cannot. So, in that case, you lose the circle of protection, and then you're again back into where you started out. You probably end up into your own conditioned nature. So that is not to be followed. That example of giving up the spiritual master, because you are not able to follow, you are not able to take his instructions, you are not able to take the reality which is being spoken by the spiritual master, the conditioned soul may develop enmity towards spiritual master, but it should not be done. Prabhupada emphasizes strongly on following regulatory principles. And this also upsets, and the way he presents the purpose very directly and during his interaction. And here, anticipating what will happen after the disciple takes to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is writing, one may perform mischievous acts, which is breaking the regulatory principles, even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulatory principles. Now, is Prabhupada doing this to push forward his own personal agenda? That's why he's imposing all this, and he wants to make 5,000 followers and then advertise himself as a great guru of the whole world. No. His only inspiration and enthusiasm, he says, is the order of the spiritual master. And that's why he wants to push forward this movement. And that is why he is asking the disciples to control their lower pushings, redirect their lower pushings towards a higher purpose of pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. And for that higher purpose, tolerate the lower urges. And as a result, your mind will not be disturbed. That's what Prabhupada writes in the purport. We have had discussions on this topic of sex desire for quite a while. Several devotees have been speaking. Paramahansa Prabhu spoke, Gopinath Prabhu spoke on counteracting lust. He gave, like, we can say, like, Gopinath Prabhu's 10 rules for contracting lust and also the previous impressions. What I come today is to dwell a little bit on this Hridaya Granthi that has been formed. Pumsaskriyan Maitmi Bhavami Tantayo Vito Hridaya Granthi. That's described by Prabhupada. How to practice? Because the same verse 5.5.8 talks about the heart knot. But the next verse 5.5.9 gives the solution how to cut the heart knot of attachment. We might have discussed this before, but it's worth dwelling on that a little bit. So what I will be speaking is based on what I heard from another devotee from Govardhan Eco Village. His name is Isvari Balaram Shakti Prabhu. He gave a seminar on chanting the holy name, but he's focused on how it cleanses the heart, how the ignorance is removed, and also I'll be touching upon a few points from His Grace Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhu's Applied Bhagavatam series that some of you might be attending there. So, what is this Hridaya Granthi? What is this Hridaya? What is it made up of? This Hridaya is one of the internal sense organ as described in the teachings of Lord Kapila section. Antakarna is an internal sense organ. It is composed of chitta, intelligence, mind, and ahankar. So the Hridaya Granthi, we are zooming into the word Hridaya. Hridaya is the antakarna, internal sense organ, which is made up of chitta, buddhi, mana, and ahankar. Now, what is the role of these internal sense organs? These internal sense organs, they get inputs from outside. Input, process, output. So they are getting input from the external sense organs and they are generating an output. That output is what is keeping the living entity bound in this material world. When the output is material, the living entities are bound, covered. So we are going to look at how that knot is getting formed and what is covering us. The antakaranas, where they get sensory inputs, they generate what is called as a material emotion. And it is this material emotion that keeps the living entity bound. Now why do we have to get into so much details? One may say, I am not very philosophically inclined, probably telling some stories and let's get on with that. And one may say, I am not very intelligent. One may even say that I am female body, I am not very philosophical. But interestingly, Mother Devahuti asks this to Lord Kapila to explain more detail, and the result of hearing this Sankhya in detail is Hridaya Granthi Yedanam. It cuts the heart, not the heart. So that is why we go into little details. People may get put off as soon as we get into too much of analytical study. But it is Mother Devahuti who is asking and Lord Kapila is explaining, and the result of hearing this is Hridaya Granthi Bhedam. It gets the heart knot is cut. So it can be cut by first aspect is knowledge, and that is what Lord Kapila is giving. Second aspect is practice, which we will cover later on. attachment. So now we are focusing on knowledge, zooming into Hridaya, then the Antakarana, and what that does, and we have come to the point of going to the root cause, and this material emotion is what keeps me bound in this material world. Now, if you look at your real life example, if there is a strong smell of flowers coming from a particular place, and then that goes in, and then that reminds you of various things. Now that it's lockdown, somebody gets the flowers from the temple and gives to devotees who are outside, who can't come to the temple. If I can't give a material example, I'm giving a spiritual example. It generates an emotion in them. It is as if they are coming to the temple. So, same thing applies if it is a person who is not into Krishna consciousness. And when he gets these inputs, sensory inputs, it generates a particular type of emotion. He might be remembered of his, this flower was decorating my beloved. So he gets into that kind of thinking, oh, I could offer it again. Whereas the devotee does in a different way, he thinks differently. Now what's happening inside is the sensory inputs come and like a stimulus, and that generates particular types of emotions. Now, although the output is emotion, if we dwell further into it, what gets activated first is the chitta. It gets activated, I'm receiving a stimulus like the smell of a flower. Oh, this is very familiar. Now, these four, chitta, buddhi, mana, and ahankara, they have access to a database of previous impressions, which are called as you all know, vasanas. So chitta gets activated, goes back and checks, there's a similar feeling I had. And then what it does, it activates buddhi. Chitta is where you become aware that this is a familiar stimulus, then it activates buddhi. Intelligence goes to the past records, so it's database engine. Looks, if you could search something and press enter, Google does it. So intelligence does that for you, gets it, says, this is the smell of the flower, and now the size, shape, all that. So that's why when Lord Kapila is defining what is intelligence, he says he gives all that. Different aspects of intelligence is that doubt, correct apprehension, misapprehension, memory, and sleep, being able to discriminate. The chitta in the pure state is of serenity, calmness, and peacefulness. Then being focused. Serene, clear, and free from distraction. That is what the chitta is. But as soon as it gets input from all this, it goes into search, activates the intelligence. Then the mind, which has got access to how you felt when you came in contact with such a stimulus, that the mind has access to the emotional part of it. The analytical part is the intelligence, the emotional part is the mind, and it has access to those emotions that you had when you smelled the flower. You had when you are eating a samosa, for example. Now what does the false ego do is, it connects the emotions and the feelings that you you underwent to your own self. How did I feel when I smelled the pearl? How did I feel when I ate the samosa? So this is how the four come together and work and generate a material emotion. And that material emotion is what is keeping us bound in this material world. Now this mechanism, the way it works, produces, it corresponds to five aspects of ignorance. Now material emotions, and they are binding us and they are covering us with ignorance, and this is corresponds to the five aspects of ignorance which is created by Lord Brahma. Five aspects of ignorance, which is, the first is misidentification, the losing one's spiritual identity. So you lose your spiritual identity, you don't know who you are, and then you start to identify with the material body and anything that is related to the material body. Anything that material offers, you think that you are the owner. In the purport to 5.5.8, Prabhupada writes, the living entity thinks that he is the owner, enjoyer, and then he wants to enjoy further. Then he extends that to his wife, children, and he exercises control over them. Tamsham, moham, mahamoham. So the gradations of the ignorance are also given. That is in 5.12.2, if I'm not wrong. The different levels of ignorance will be destroyed. Now, the past experiences that you had based on enjoying or suffering, that is the first component which maps with the five levels of ignorance given by Brahma, and then the Yoga Sutras also present how it matches with the different transformations which the living entity feels and goes through. This five aspects map with the first thing, which is avidya. What we are talking about is the five layers of ignorance and how they affect us or bind us. So what Brahma created was tamas, moha, mahamoha, tamishra and andatamishra. So that is what we saw so far. You lose your spiritual identity, you start to identify with the body and the matter, moha, and then you develop false ownership of things that are offered by the material world. And that's what you see, that the living entity in the forest of material enjoyment, he doesn't know who he is, and then he's starting to think he is a body. Then he is starting to take ownership of the things that are offered in the forest. And when somebody comes and obstructs your enjoyment, you become angry. That is tamishra. And that's what is being discussed here. And in previous verses also, what leads to anger, someone comes and blocks my enjoyment, I become angry. And then you go through a hard struggle for existence and you fear death. That's why the elephant of death is being described, and that corresponds to another tamasya. Now how this several layers, they produce the avidya itself comes into picture. So this mapping is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in purport 3.12.2. Those who want to read further. These are all the transformations which the living entity experiences. So first is having a strong attachment to the body and not being able to understand who he actually is, and thinking that I can be happy with material things and I suffer due to some interaction with the matter. So this is the aspect of avidya or ignorance, thinking that the spirit soul can enjoy with matter, thinking that the matter will also produce suffering. So that's why second chapter itself, Krishna describes the properties of the soul, that it is untouched by anything material. But because of identification, the soul suffers. Because you have access to the vasanas, you think that I was happy when I smelled the pearl, I was happy when I ate the samosa, I had a bitter experience when I tasted karela, which is bitter gourd. I took a hot samosa in my mouth and it burnt my mouth. So it was a, so you have access, so you are thinking that I will suffer if I go through the same experience again, or I will enjoy if I go through the same experience again. So this fact that I am thinking I can enjoy or suffer by interacting with matter because I have access to vasanas, that is avidya. Now, the second aspect is asmita, which maps with the false ego. Now, the vasanas have access to all the impressions that you've had for millions of lives. But in a particular body, you get access to those impressions which you are in this particular body. You are connected to that set of impressions alone, you get access. For example, I have had experience in various species, but the false ego, that gives access to me to a particular set of vasanas, so that I can enjoy. And that particular identity you are carrying as a male or a female, you get access to that particular set of vasanas. Then, as described by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, by interacting, the living entity thinks that he is the doer, whereas it is the material nature. You experience by interacting with the matter, raga, which is a pleasant experience. And then the unpleasant experience, as we saw, is the dvesha. And these both are based on your past experience and thinking that your body. Now it doesn't stop there. Raga and dvesha, if it is there, it doesn't stop there. It becomes what is called as absorption in attachment, absorption in dvesha. So that is why you are absorbed in enmity, you feel more and more enmity. You feel more inimical feeling towards a particular person and you are so absorbed in that. So what example came to your mind is Arim Kamsa, who was so absorbed in his inimical feelings towards the Lord. Whereas the good example that we see is that of the exalted devotees, the gopis, who are absorbed in that. So they are that. One extreme and the demons are the other extreme, but the beauty is that kind of jumping ahead. The process is kind of benefiting both. Kamsa also over the middle. So, coming back to this, absorption is called abhinivesha. Abhinivesha meditation is the absorption in raga or dvesha. When you get too absorbed, then you become raga vinivesh, or when you become too absorbed in disgusting experience of dvesha, then you become dvesha vinivesh. So this is the transformation of this living entity goes through. I get familiar inputs, I get attached, I get something unpleasant, I have inimical feelings, I get absorbed in that. Meanwhile, we forget our actual spiritual identity, why we are here, and then we forget the Lord who says that I am standing right next to you, but you can't see me. He says that in the 7th chapter, Naha Prakashya Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samantha curtain. As Prabhu was explaining, what is this curtain made up of? Made up of glass or cotton or polyester? No, it is these components that we described, that is what it is made up of. Because you are so caught up in raga and dvesha, you don't see the Lord who is present everywhere in the Brahman form and then present in your heart as Paramatma. And then of course in the form of Bhagavan. So you don't see all of them. 7.27, as we will see. Icha Dvesha Samuttena Dvanda Mohena. Again we see the word Moha. Mahamoha, Mahamoha as created by the Brahma. Dvanda Moha. Sarva Bhutani Sammoham. Into delusion. Sarve Jnanti Parantapa. All living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arising from desire and hate. So we saw the dualities, and then the moha, and then the sammoha. Now, as a merciful Lord, He also gives the solution, how to cut this curtain, how to cut through this ignorance, and how to get out of these. In the next verse itself, He talks about it, 7.28. Eshantu antakaram papam jananam punyakarma. Te dvanda moha nirmukta vajante maam trida prata. So those whose sinful reactions have been extinguished, antakaram papam, how does it happen? Can be engaged in punya karma. So when we do punya karma, we eradicate papam. Now this punya karma is not the mundane pious activities, because mundane pious activities produces more mundane impressions. It doesn't go and take away the bad vasanas or impressions. That only bhakti does. So punya karma in this verse refers to bhakti. So by performing punya karma, you destroy the vasanas, and it takes a long time. It takes consistent practice, as the in intro of instruction tells us, into adhar anudinam. So it requires constant practice. Abhyasaya tu kaunteya, practice. So when that consistent practice happens, then the vasanas get destroyed. Now we are not just international society for anasthanivriti, we are also international society for Krishna consciousness. So as you are doing bhakti, not only the old vasanas go away, but new vasanas are being imprinted. So you come out of this dvanda moha. Because you are not focusing on what I like and what I dislike, but you are doing what the Guru tells you. So your value system changes from doing what I like and dislike, to value system being changing to what the Guru is saying. What He says, I will do. What says, I don't do, I do not do. So that is how the minimum 16 grams of chanting is a favorable aspect, and following the four related principles, avoiding all the sinful activities, that is the what you should avoid. So by doing that, when you come to a point where you are no longer affected by those vasanas, then bhajante mam dridhatvata. Then you can perform devotional service with determination. It takes time. So as Gopapuru was describing, that's type of work. Now, once we move to the practice part, we will discuss, touch upon that. But here we are looking at how this particular verse, Krishna is giving the solution. When you are studying with your sinful reactions, antakaram paapam, that is the stage where the living entity is studying. When he enters into the path of bhakti, when he takes initiation, when bhajana kriya begins and anantar begins, again the struggle continues, but now it is under the guidance of a spiritual master who gives you instructions so that you don't add further to the vasanas. So that is why the four regular principles, you stop doing them and you don't add to the vasanas that you already have, and you work on clearing your vasanas. So anantar nivritti, that struggle till your antakaram paapam is there, then you start doing punya karma. So then bhajana kriya, anantar nivritti, then comes dhrida vrata, you perform steadily, that is nishtha. So this is how Prabhu explained this particular verse in a very interesting way about how the curtain also Krishna describes, what is it made up of, the five layers of ignorance, how do we overcome them by performing dhrida vrata bhakti. Now by performing this, when you are in this particular struggle of overcoming your past impressions, that is where the pushings are being described, where you go back and forth, back and forth. Now the root cause network instruction describes that is not something new, you can't expect something new. It is again the misidentification of the body that causes the pushings of the three kinds of urges, vacho vegam, manso vegam, jiva vegam. All that is because of identification with body. And the solution, as we saw, is performing devotional service as prescribed by the spiritual master. Now here we saw and analyzed how intricately the things work. Avidya, asmita, avidya is ignorance, asmita is the false ego, then raga is the attachment, dvesha is the repulsion, and then abhinivesh, which is complete absorption. So that's why the word abhinivesh comes in Bhagavatam also, the famous verse called fear. Vayam vidya abhinivesha sya isha apetasya viparyayo asmriti. So in that particular verse also the solution is given as bhaktyaiva esham guru deva tatma. That is why we understand the inner meaning of why Srila Prabhupada is giving us the regulative principles of freedom and what is happening in the background. So bhakti is capable of destroying the subtle body as a digestive fire, digest food. And that Prabhupada is giving and in a nice package, creating an institution and a place for us to come, like a sthana. When we looked at the different topics about sthanam, poshanam, all that Prabhupada is doing is here in sthanam, he's giving us poshanam physically and spiritual nourishment, inspiration, utaya. Now I'm getting all this. Prabhupada's instructions on one side, my vasanas, old habits, impressions are on the other side. Now there is a tug of war happening. I know what is to be done, but as Prabhupada described, even after joining the Krishna consciousness movement, sometimes the old mysterious habits come back. Now, how do we deal with that? This is when I will touch upon points given by Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhu, where he was discussing the Gajendra pastime, where he brought up the point about dealing with old habits. Now he gave a step-by-step method by which we can attempt to deal with this when you are struggling with this tug of war between your old vasanas and your old conditioned nature and then the instructions given by you. Now, when you are aware that you are going to enter into a provoking situation where you know that I have a conditioning by which I am trying to work on and I am not completely out of it and I am aware of it, and this situation that I am going to enter into is going to provoke that. So you go prepared and you analyze. So he used the word conditioning and conditioning. So you have certain conditioning and you are going to enter a condition or a situation which is going to provoke you. Then what he gave as a plan is that you, for doing a particular service, when you have to enter a particular situation which is going to provoke you, you be very, very clear about why you are entering into that particular situation. You have a clear plan and a purpose why you are getting there. And then, also, second plan that he said is, if you are going there, what happens if you are getting caught? If you are being overcome by the conditioning, have a rescue plan also. So, planning before going in, and then you went in with the assumption that you can handle by just getting overwhelming, what is the rescue plan? You, each one has to work that out. Now, scenarios where it is almost impossible for you to escape, even though it is a service, and you know this conditioning will overpower you for sure. Now, at that time, it is better that you confirm that if this service has to be done only by you, and you, what Prabhu said is you put your guard down. As a spiritual warrior, each one of us will have our guards when we are dealing with fellow devotees or seniors. We will have an outside image where they will think that we are advanced and they will ask us to do a particular service. So you mean to put your guard down and tell what your condition nature actually is. This situation is going to provoke me. This you may have to even disclose with people who you trust, and sometimes even with equals. So with equals is you may want to be what you call as, yeah, I'm okay, but and they also think they're okay. It's like equals like spiritual warriors maintaining their guard. But if you're going to enter the situation and it's going to be your condition is it's going to come out, it's good to reduce your guard and tell that who you actually are. And this the famous example, who were friends and one of them put his guard down, mates, who were talking like mates and challenging each other. Mate, do you want to kill your guru? Arjuna was asking. Do you want to kill your guru? You're asking me to kill my guru. Will you go and do it? So these two mates, one of them came down, Shishasthayam. He put his guard, he exposed, okay, these are my shortcomings. And I need help. So that is how you focus on the purpose and you know what your strengths are and you need guidance, take, and if you feel that there is another person qualified to do, then you want to delegate it, assist those who are more capable of dealing with the situation. When the situation or condition is not going to provoke your is going to provoke your condition so much, so then take help, disclose, get help from seniors and assist them when they are engaged in those kind of services, learn from them. So this is in a situation where it is almost impossible to escape. Now when there is a situation where you have overcome this condition and you can deal with it, still go with the guard on and still have a rescue plan of what will happen if it comes back to me again. Again, the focus is being fixed on the purpose. Why I'm doing this? Now, with the rescue plan, what Prabhu zoomed into and he explained that further is that the conditioning will provoke our cravings or old memories or vasana, and they come up. That what is being generated is a pushing. As we saw, chitta gets activated, intelligence gets activated, mind gets activated, the ego, all that. The result of all that is pushing. And that pushing has to be acknowledged and it has to be redirected towards a particular spiritual alternative. So the pushing is there and use that to push forward the Krishna conscious movement. As Hargrave Purnima Mataji, when she was giving the seminar on dealing with sex desire, she gave for the scenarios for Brahmachari sannyasis, for grihasthas, how to deal with it. So, yeah, acknowledge it and then purify it, divert it so that it doesn't overpower you. Again, being fixed on the purpose of the institution and being able to take the guidance and use those conditions to push forward, purify them. And that requires expert spiritual guidance, which we take from the spiritual master and from other authorities and Shikshana Gurus. And that is why it is crucial that we don't become inimical towards the spiritual master, don't develop that kind of inimical attitude towards him, because he is the one who is giving you the solution, the rescue plan, knows your conditioning, how to redirect, how to purify. So one such strong method of purification, again this is not new, it is through prayers. Specific prayers to remove the vasanas, as we discussed many times, and recently they gave a class on 5.18.8. So pray to Lord Narasimhadev to remove those karma ashrayam. In Uttar Gita, when before Uttar Gita begins, in that particular purport, Prabhupada will write, a mantra is not public, but when it is chanted by a spiritual master, it adds more potency. So that is why when sannyasis, maharajas and gurus give classes on verses, it has a strong impact. When you hear through their mouth, it has more impact, and that goes and destroys the vasanas, which is what is generating the emotion. And this, now we are dealing with the practice aspect of cutting the heart out of the knot in the heart. I forgot to mention, because we saw knowledge first, then you know, in the practice, and this, each one has to come up with their own strategies. And one of the strategies we are discussing is the prayer. Now, one may feel guilty because he has done something mischievous and not want to come into the association of devotees at all, or not want to see Guru, or not want to see the deities, or to separate himself from the association because he has done something mischievous. So this was a question asked during the session. What happens when we have a strategy, I have everything, but then I fail, and then I don't want to see the devotees again because I failed so miserably. Now there are encouraging words which are given by Krishna himself for a struggling sadhana. Bhagya manavi manbhakta vishaya ajitendriya, a struggling sadhaka who is ajitendriya, bhagya manavi manbhakta vishaya ajitendriya praya pradupaya bhakya. When he is not giving up the process and continuously engaging, even though he may be momentarily overcome by, bewildered by the sense gratification, he will eventually not fail. He will win. Praya, Prakalpaya, Bhakta, Vishaya, Nabi, Bhuyate. This also Koko Prabhu was mentioning in one of his classes before. So, when I looked at this verse, this is an encouraging verse, and this should bring the devotee back. And the fact that there is a voice inside you that is telling that don't go to devotees, don't listen to Guru, you have already fallen. And that is the, again, the ignorance and all that is trying to cover. So whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, known to be a product of my illusory energy, that reflection which appears in the darkness. So this is one of the Chatushrutis. So as a part of the practice, we have to keep these kind of rescue plan, these kind of fallback, these kind of verses which help us, this set of prayers specific to each devotee. Each one of them we need to develop and then work on it intensely. Just like we are at the moment doing intense deep cleaning physically also the premises. So when the struggle is hard, rather than giving up, I use that same inspiration to go deeper and practice more frequently. Yes, yes, three sandhyam, okay. Three sandhyam. I can connect the three sandhyas with before the first sandhya helps me to focus on the Supreme Absolute, so that I know that everything is His energy. The rest of the day I'll be dealing with His energy. So you're surcharging your spiritual batteries in the middle of the day. You pause. So far I'm dealt with the material energy. The results that I've got is also to be meant for the Lord. I'm dealing with this energy and I'm going to remember the Lord. And towards the last sandhya, okay, process of whatever I have done to the Lord. And as we know, each Sunday is governed by a particular mode, Satoguna, Rajoguna. We are in action. And the last Sunday, I am going to be taken over by ignorance, but before that, I will dedicate all the results that I have done to the Lord in this particular day, and I will prepare myself safely to enter into ignorance so that I can come back again to Sattva again. So this, those who are second initiated, it happens at three sandhya. Those who are not can still practice it by putting three reminders three times a day. Brahma Muhurta start, acknowledge, then towards the middle of the day, pause. Yes, I am now in passion, in the middle of passion, I need to pause and think, who am I doing this activity for, what is my motive, and who is this meant for? Refocus, and then continue the rest of the day towards the end of the day. Again, dedicate the results to the Lord. And then during those moments, whatever prayers that you have selected for your particular conditioning, chant them. Those who are not second initiated can still get to the practice of chanting prayers, praising Guru, prayers, praising Krishna, prayers, praising Krishna's devotees in those three junctions. What happens is you're intensifying your practice, and that will help loosen up the hridaya granthi. So this practice is something is in our side, we have to do. And conclude with this last prayer from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, which the gopis chant when they fear Krishna was being taken away by Putana. And this talks about every part being protected. And you will see how Chitta, everything is coming. This is 10.6.22 onwards. 22, 23, 24. So 10.6.22 translation. Sukadeva Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that the gopis followed the proper system and protected Krishna, their child, with this mantra. May Aja protect your legs, may Maniman protect your knees, Yajna your thighs, Achyuta the upper part of your waist, may and Hayagriva your abdomen. May Keshava protect your heart, Hridaya Granthi. Isha your chest, the sun god your neck, Vishnu your arms, Urukrama your face, and Ishvara your head. May Chakri protect you from the front. From the front, may Sri Hari, Gadadhari, the carrier of the club, protect you from the back, and may the carrier of the bow, who is known as the enemy of Madhu, and Lord Arjuna, the carrier of the sword, protect you, your two sides. May Lord Guru Gaya, the carrier of the concert, protect you from all corners. May Upendra protect you from above. May Garuda protect you on the ground. And may Lord Haladara, the Supreme Person, protect you on all sides. May Rishikesha protect your senses, and Narayana, your life air. May the master of Shweta Deepa protect the core of your heart. And may Lord Yogeshwara protect your mind. May Lord Krishnagarbha protect your intelligence. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your soul. While you are playing, may Govinda protect you. And while you are sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are waking. And may Lord Narayana, the husband of Gods of Fortune, protect you while you are sitting. Similarly, may Lord Yajnavalkya, the fearful enemy of the evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. The evil witches known as Dakinis, Yakudanis and Kusmandas are the greatest enemies of children, and the evil spirits like Bhutas, Pretas, Pishashas, Yakshas, Rakshasas and Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotara, Revati, Jeshta, Putana, Matruka are always ready to give trouble to the body, the life air and the senses, causes loss of memory, madness and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, they all create great disturbances, especially for children. But one can vanquish them, simply uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away.
Functioning normally.
certain pervading areas. I think it has examples, and there are also examples of people even without proper, when the brain scan was taken, and the brain size was very small, but still the person was, he is in the US Navy or something, like very high ranked person, still they're able to function, which this proves the fact that brain is the center for the mind and intelligence.
But sometimes, some very rare times, we may be able to distinguish whether the thought is coming from the heart or coming from the mind.
So what is...
In which case, it will originate from the mind. If it's coming from the mind and it will originate from the heart, it's coming from...
So the... this whole, sometimes all this will be grouped together, chitta, ahankara, mana, buddhi, manas, and they will be given a common term, and that may even include that whole thing and consider as mind also. In Prahlada Maharaj's prayers, purport, whoever is right, you put mind and then a star, and then the subtle body, the internal body, the soul as such, as we know, is in the region of heart. The internal sense organs are also there in the region of the heart. So that is my understanding. So that it comes to the brain. I am not sure.
Thank you. And then this practice, knowledge.
Yes, you can say that that's what we saw in Chaitanya Prabhu's way he described it. Yukta Vairagya, if you know that you can use it in Krishna service and you will not be affected by it, then otherwise it is better to take guidance and work under guidance rather than prematurely thinking that everything is Krishna service and that provokes your conditioning and you fall back. So, looking at everything as Krishna's energy, and most importantly, having that full knowledge that I can use this in Krishna's service without being overcome by the condition. So, that aspect you can say yes.
And would chanting Hare Krishna be the primary practice for the practice part?
Yes, because I heard this whole explanation as a part of the first word Cheto Darpana. That's how Prabhu began, Balaram Shakti Prabhu began the whole explanation Cheto Darpana Madhyam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapana. So what is this Cheta? There is cleansing of the heart, as we say. What is this heart? The prime method of overcoming these vasanas and all that is to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And that actually removes all the bad habits also. That's all. Satyananda writes in his set of articles that he wrote on the holy name. So if you chant offenselessly, then all the old habits will go away. Having said that, these additional precautions, practices, prayers, help from devotees and prayers to the Goswamis, Vaishnava songs and all that will help us chant better. So this is how I feel. Okay. Krantra Asana Bhagavatam.